This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Back in the saddle again after spending some time with family and friends over the holiday and tears, hoping your holidays were everything you wanted them to be, merry and bright, or better yet, that they're ongoing as we speak. Ryan Kelly, getting you back up early again, and thank you so much. How were your holidays?
It was so good. How was yours?
It was wonderful. It really was. I mean, you know me. I'm a bit wonky, so I keep my eye on the news and what's going on. But, yeah, it was just wonderful having that opportunity to spend some quality time with friends and families. But here's the question. You know, we've talked a lot about the great resignation or the great quit when it comes to people, taking a different path when it comes to their means of income or their employment. But my question for you, are you part of the great return after the holidays that commences after each and every Christmas?
I guess so, since I'm back.
Okay,
I guess you could say that.
Now, I'm talking about all those gifts that you got. I don't know, maybe a sweater that doesn't quite fit your sartorial taste or those goofy socks or whatever the case may be. I don't think anybody gifts ties anymore because ties are kind of a relic of the days of old.
I give my dad ties because he's just, well, he is a relic of old, but...
Hey now, Ryan. No, you've got to remember, there's a couple of sayings at play here, a couple mm-hmm. of old tropes. One is, youth is a gift, age is an art.
Okay, I can see that.
That's the first one. The second one is, there's actually three. Second one is, age is nothing more than a state of mind.
Right.
And number three, age and treachery beats youth and enthusiasm every single time.
Come on. Give me a couple years and I'll be right up there.
All right. So you're not part of the great return to the stores. You were pretty happy with all of your gifticles.
Yeah, everything came out great. Got some good socks, got some thermal pants.
Ooh.
New bed sheets.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're ready to go for 2022.
You're up and at 'em. One of my favorite gifts, post-it notes. I kid you not.
Really?
Oh, man. I am rich with post-it notes. So if you ever need a post-it, just let me know. And, you'll probably have to pry them out of my cold, dead hands. That is a staple. Oh, speaking of staples, staples are always good, too. But a staple of my day-to-day existence. You need those post-it notes so that you can keep up with everything that's going on.
I love it.
Yeah, you gotta love it. So again, I hope you had some great holidays and no, you were missed. 610 now, 1310 KFKA, 103.1 Northern Colorado's voice, Mornings with Gale, but sadly, an icon of the gridiron and the airwaves has passed. Yeah. Pro Football Hall of Fame coach and broadcasting legend, John Madden, whose voice, became ubiquitous as a running commentary for all of us NFL devotees every football weekend for nearly 30 years. Passed away just yesterday morning. He was 85. The NFL said that he died unexpectedly and no other details were released. Now, Madden may have been known most recently for the popular football video games that bear his name, but he always knew what he wanted to be known as. Madden said after his election to the Hall of Fame, "People always ask, are you a coach or a broadcaster? Or a video game guy?" Well, for him, the answer was abundantly clear. "I'm a coach," he said. "Always been a coach." Now, as you're probably well aware, he was hired by Oakland Raiders owner Al Davis way back when in 1969. At age 32, was given the reins to what became, yes, a storied franchise. And Broncos country, we won't dwell on the most recent meeting between the Raiders and the Broncos. He had a 103-32-7 records, Madden did, with the Raiders, making 8 playoff appearances, winning 7 division titles before achieving his greatest coaching, achievement. That was a victory in Super Bowl 11 over the Minnesota Vikings after stepping down from coaching at age 42 following the 1978 season. Madden worked as an analyst for CBS Sports, became known for his partnership with Pat Summerall starting in 1981. CBS lost its NFC television rights to Fox in 1994. So he said, well, let's roll the dice. He and Summerall went to the then upstart network and worked together through the 2001 season. He was best known for his straightforward approach to broadcasting, and he schooled millions of us each week on the finer points of football while using terms like doink, bam, or boom, even drawing on the screen, showing pass and blocking patterns, or even the sweat stains of those big, burly offensive linemen. He spent his final broadcasting years with Al Michaels on ABC's Monday Night Football from 2002 to 2005 and Sunday Night Football on NBC from 2006 through 2008. His last broadcast was on February 1st, 2009, a Super Bowl broadcast, a thrilling 27-23 win by the Pittsburgh Steelers over the Arizona Cardinals. Madden was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2006, the winner of 16 Sports Emmy Awards for his broadcasting. He worked for each of the networks carrying the NFL and was an analyst on 11 Super Bowl telecasts. Meanwhile, in the political sphere, Harry Reid, a 30-year veteran of the upper chamber of Congress and a former boxer who led Senate Democrats from 2005 to 2017, he passed away just yesterday at the age of 82. He had been battling pancreatic cancer since his diagnosis in 2018. Now, Reid was first elected to the body in 1987, of course, speaking of the Senate. As the Democrat leader, he shepherded the Affordable Care Act through the Senate in 2010 and used that so-called nuclear option to push through President Barack Obama's nominees to federal district and appeals courts, lowering the necessary threshold to end debate on a nomination from 60 to a simple majority. Now, while he was unabashedly a partisan Democrat, and he was a rather controversial cutthroat figure in the Senate, he was admired by his allies and reviled by his opponent. Well, many of his positions would be unrecognizable to the current Senate Democrat caucus. He, for example, advocated overturning Roe v. Wade, and he was also against same-sex marriage for most of his career. But he was a fire starter, a firebrand. He famously called George W. Bush, the sitting president at the time, a liar and a loser. And he accused Mitt Romney, the GOP's nominee for president back in 2012 on the Senate floor, for not paying his taxes. Now, he later, Senator Reid did, apologize for calling Bush a loser, but stuck by calling him a liar and never apologized for painting Romney as a tax cheat, even though PolitiFact rated that claim as pants on fire. He was a devotee of exercise, sometimes joked about his deputy, Senator Charles Schumer, spending more time on his cell phone and cutting deals in the Senate gym instead of working out at the gym. But Reid, as you probably remember, suffered a couple of injuries that may have hastened his retirement. Once gave himself a black eye on a jog when he fell after his hand slipped off the parked car he was using to stabilize himself while stretching. He endured a much more serious injury in 2015. This when an elastic band he was using in the bathroom snapped, sending him reeling into some cabinets. The accident left him with broken ribs and partially blinded. Now, he underwent surgery to remove a tumor from his pancreas in May, an operation that left him frail and needing a walker. But in an interview earlier this year, with his trademark bluntness, you had Senator Reid telling Times reporter Mark Lebowitz that as soon as you discover you have something on your pancreas, well, you're dead. His words, not mine. Former Senator Democratic leader Harry Reid is survived by his wife, 5 children, and 19 grandchildren. 617 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA. This time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, where an incredible production of The Sound of Music takes center stage through January 30th. So for tickets and show information, and I'll tell you what, I would not procrastinate. This is one of the hottest tickets in town. Just jump online, visit coloradocandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, Broadway in your backyard.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Hear from one of the best players in the country on the David Roddy Show. Weekdays at 1 p.m. on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, as Teddy Bridgewater remains in concussion protocol as the Broncos begin to prep for their Week 17 road game against the Chargers, begs the question for the ever faithful, and I'm talking about all of you, Broncos country, how can the Broncos make the NFL playoffs entering Week 17? Well, as many things are these days, it's complicated, but there is a way. So break out the whiteboard and follow along. 624 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, Mornings with Gale. So how can this actually transpire? How can the Broncos actually make it into the playoffs? Well, despite losing to the Raiders 17-13, yeah, I'm sorry, on Sunday, that was a tough one, at Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, yes, they have a teeny tiny sliver of hope to snap their 5-year postseason slump and make the playoffs as the number 3 wild card in the AFC. Now, granted, it's an incredibly slim shot, but as hope springs, it's a shot nonetheless. But once again, it's kind of complex. But the Denver Post was so kind to break it down for us. So here's what the Broncos need to do to make the playoffs. Number one, and this is the most direct route toward the playoffs, they need to win out. They need to win their final two games. Again, this week, week 17 against the Chargers and week 18 at home against the Chiefs. Number two, they need a little collaboration, a little cooperation, and, well, plenty of it. A lot of things need to align for the Broncos to see the postseason. On top of winning out, Denver also has to leapfrog 6 other teams in order to climb into that number 3 wild card slot. A win on Sunday over the Chargers eliminates Denver's division rival from playoff contention. But there are caveats here. If either the Colts or the Patriots, both 9-6 and sitting pretty in the top 2 wild card spots, if they finish 9-8, they already hold the conference record tiebreaker over the Broncos, as do the 9-6 Bills and Bengals, who are, yes, atop their respective divisions. Oh, and by the way, yeah, the Dolphins cannot win any more games. No, they can't. Well, they might, but in order for the Broncos to have all of these moving parts align in a favorable, putting them in a favorable position. Well, Miami, 8-7, Miami currently holds that number 3 wild card spot. So if the Dolphins and the Broncos tie at 9-7, the Dolphins hold the tiebreaker over Denver with a better conference record, 6-6 to 5-7. Oh, and Miami's remaining games include at the Titans. This is week 17 and versus the Patriots week 18. And along those lines, Ravens can't win any more games either. I told you it's a little complex. It's a little bit complicated. Baltimore, 8-7, holds the head-to-head tiebreaker after beating the Broncos 23-7. Heavy sigh in week 4. Their remaining games include versus the Rams and versus the Steelers. Raiders, for their part, cannot win 2 games. So you've got Vegas, Las Vegas, 7-8, holding the tiebreaker over Denver after completing the season sweep of the Broncos this past Sunday. Their remaining games include at the Colts and versus the Chargers. Then there's the Steelers. They cannot finish 8-7-2 or better in order for the Broncos to advance. Pittsburgh, 7-7-1, holds the head-to-head tiebreaker after beating the Broncos 27-19 in week 5. And in case you're curious, the Steelers' remaining games include versus the Browns and at the Ravens. Browns can't win 2 games either. Cleveland, 7-8, holds the head-to-head tiebreaker after beating the Broncos 17-14 in week 7. Again, their remaining games include at the Steelers and versus the Bengals. So if all of this should transpire, if the stars align and all of this happens, the AFC playoff picture will probably look something like this. Number 1 seed and number 2 seed would be either the Chiefs or the Titans. The number 3 seed and number 4 seed would be either the Bengals, the Bills, or the Patriots. The number 5 and 6 seed would be either the Bills, the Patriots, or the Colts. See why I told you to break out the whiteboard? And the number 17 indeed would be the Broncos. You think they can get her done? Well, again, it's going to take a little bit of cooperation from those other teams. 6:30 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA. Now, as you're well aware, the CDC changed its COVID-19 guidelines for isolation and a quarantine on Monday. No surprise here, they came under fire on Tuesday for those guidelines for, well, being a little bit too lax, as is with most things COVID-19 related. Things seem to change by the day, but it begs the question, why aren't more folks talking about lifestyle changes that will actually boost the body's natural immune system? Well, that's something that Dr. Mark Sherwood, a healthy living expert, is exceedingly passionate about. He, by the way, has treated countless COVID-19 patients, and he weighs in this morning at 6:35. 6:31 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA.
For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Hear from Colorado's state basketball coaches and players on The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, I think if there is one thing that we can all agree upon when it comes to COVID-19 inconsistency with regard to vaccinations, what the definition of being fully vaccinated actually is these days, all the mandates, the ever-changing guidelines and restrictions. In fact, as Omicron continues to spread, the Omicron variant continues to spread like wildfire across the nation, you have the equivalent of what many are referring to as a soft lockdown in many of the large urban cities across the nation. The question is, what is the solution? Because I'm of the thought process that COVID-19 will always be with us in some way, shape, or form. But it could be said, and many experts indeed are saying this, that this Omicron variant is kind of the last hurrah. Will we see other variants? Yes, we will. Yes, it is 70 times more contagious. And it's just incredibly virulent as it spreads across the country. But it seems to be much weaker than, for example, the COVID-19 Delta variant. And, well, many say that it appears to protect against that COVID-Delta variant. But the real question is, do we keep looking to the federal government in order to ensure our own health? Or is the better solution, perhaps, that we do it ourselves? 6:34 or 6:39 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA, Mornings with Gail. Dr. Mark Sherwood is a healthy living expert. He's treated countless COVID-19 patients, and he says when it comes to boosting the natural immune system in our own bodies, there's a lot that we can do to accomplish that. Dr. Mark, welcome to the show.
And Gail, thanks for having me. Good morning. I appreciate you.
And I appreciate you as well. I hope your holidays were everything that you wanted them to be. So here's the question. I mean, we've all been living Groundhog Day when it comes to COVID-19 for the better part of 2 years. Will this be the third and last COVID winter as the virus, as it mutates in its never-ending attempt to survive and thrive, as it seems considerably weaker?
Yeah, great question. I see it more along the lines of where you are. I don't think this is going to be the last variant. It's certainly not going to be the last virus. I mean, viruses have been around since the beginning of time, and mankind has learned very well how to live with them symbiotically. In other words, our immune systems are well equipped to handle them if, indeed, as you stated in the intro, if we take care of ourselves. So I agree with you. It is not the federal government's responsibility to take care of us. It is called self-government. And that means that we have to make decisions on how we treat our bodies. I have seen this many, many times in our own practice. And we, as you stated, we've dealt with 9,500 people, and we haven't lost anybody yet to any variant at all. And
that's remarkable.
Yeah, it really is, but it's really quite elementary when you think about it. So our attack point has been to eliminate all of these comorbidities, and to attack the comorbidities is really to attack the lethality of the virus, isn't it? So we try to eliminate obesity. We try to eliminate fear and anxiety orders. In one study I read that was the third leading comorbidity. I mean, so we want people to live healthy, put good food in their bodies, keep bad food out, and keep good information in, like listen to your show, very encouraging, and not listen to the negative media. I saw a headline today that was put out by the Washington Post, and it said, you should cancel all your New Year's plans because Omicron and Delta are coming. And I thought to myself, now how is that supposed to be any benefit for mankind? This is the kind of stuff we need to turn off like a light switch.
Well, and, you know, I think you raise a very good point, because I'll tell you what, I was in full eye roll mode when they were talking about the New Year's Eve celebration in New York City. You typically see upward of, 60,000 plus people there. So in their ongoing wisdom, in order to protect us against the virus, which unfortunately, I think if you look at some of the capricious mandates, the ever revolving door of lockdowns and restrictions. Well, we obviously haven't learned anything from the Spanish flu of 1918, but that's just as an aside. Now they're limiting it to 15,000 people. You had Dr. Fauci, coming out and saying, well, for your holiday gatherings, you know, you want to be fully vaccinated. And again, we don't, that keeps changing as well. What is the definition of being fully vaccinated? And you want to avoid groups of over 40 people. It's just a head scratcher. And I think, unfortunately, because of all of the mixed messaging, a lot of this is now falling on deaf ears.
I agree with you. And it has been very confusing. I mean, does it take one person to get a contagious variant, or does it take 40, or does it take 100? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Do vaccines work, or are they not? There's all these discussions, but ultimately, you know, I think that most people that I've dealt with, and that my wife, Dr. Michelle, and I have dealt with, there is an angry frustration like I've never seen before. They do not trust the messaging. They do not trust the narrative, because it's ever-changing. And more now than what I've seen in the last 2 years when this all began, people are now saying, wait a minute, that's not working. Wait a minute, your response, federal government, is not working. So maybe I should try something different. And the different has been exactly what I stated a couple of moments ago. People are seeking us out, and seeking clinicians like us out, that they want to get well information. They want to have a doctor who has a toolbox that is broad, instead of having a toolbox with a hammer. And when all you have is a hammer, every single thing looks like a nail. And we have to begin to broaden our thinking and begin to, well, think for ourselves, quite frankly, Gail, because if we don't, clearly we know we're being led around like a pig with a ring in its snout, going nowhere fast.
Well, like sheeple, there's another good comparison
exactly.
as well. But the sheeple are starting to gain a little bit of individuality in terms of, we hope, taking care of their own health. I wanted to just pull that thread. You talked about stress and anxiety. Now, check me, Dr. Mark, on this if I'm wrong. But the anger and the uncertainty and the frustration coupled with stress and anxiety that we've all been dealing with on any number of levels over the past couple of years, that takes a toll on the immune system, doesn't it?
It does. And a great way to remember this for all of our listeners this morning is this. This is a great little analogy. When the body goes into this stress response, which is known as the fight or flight in part, we know that we have this hormone called cortisol that's made. Well, cortisol being the proverbial stress hormone, when that gets made in mass and we get this hyper cortisolemic sort of situation, the body puts all of its energy towards survival right now, because it's deeming that there's a bear or a lion trying to eat you. And so it goes away from, completely away from, all of its ability and energy to fight things that are going to maybe kill you long term, like viruses or bacteria. So for the short term survival, all of the focus goes there, and it absolutely causes catastrophe with our immune system, and it weakens it. It makes this thing called immunocompromise more likely faster.
Now, you've been exceedingly successful treating, as you said earlier, over, 9,500 COVID-19 cases. What are the commonalities that you are seeing, and what can we do to, well, increase the odds? Because I think everyone, by the end of it, is going to have Omicron. I mean, the vaccines don't
yep.
seem to be all that effective. We've got those antiviral pills, Pfizer and Merck, coming out, but question is, what would their availability be?
Well, to try to eliminate infections from viruses is to really eliminate mankind's existence on the face of the earth, because we can't. Now, there's some things we can do that for everybody that will benefit 100% of the people listening right now. Begin to consume foods that you can imagine in their original package and form that might be walking around in the Garden of Eden, as we could imagine that, and growing off the tree or a bush.
Not the polysorbate tea. Not the polysorbate tree.
There are no Big Macs hanging from bushes, and there are no donuts hanging from trees. So we need to eat real food and avoid the things that were never food. These immune-inducing, immune-reducing inflammatory foods that we're having today, they're generated, believe it or not, by the good old-fashioned United States government. That's where they subsidize these things. So that is leading us down a pathway of sickness. So that's number one. Number two, we want to make sure we supplement with those things that diet, a good diet, lacks, such as vitamin D, omega-3 fatty acids. You might include a little bit of zinc, C, and vitamin A as well. Then you got to turn off negative media, and I mean all of it. And just, you want to be informed, but you don't want to be infected by it. And then I think another thing on my checklist is exercise, get outside, and finally, you know, hang out with people that are going to lift you up and not tear you down, you know, because, like, whoever you hang out with is going to eventually hang on you. And so if we're hanging on with bad people that are just always talking about how much we're going to die, I mean, look, that's not helping anybody. So, you know, take all those little tools right there, put them to practice, and with 100% certainty, you're going to have a better life.
Well, and I can't help but think, I mean, you see the spike in crime across the country. We just saw it in Denver just recently, in which a gunman killed five people, wounded others, including a police officer. Sadly, that's becoming the norm rather than the exception. And I don't know what all the facts are. The investigation is continuing. But the bottom line is, I think all of the uncertainty and the isolation has only made us act out in other ways, as many of us have turned to unhealthy coping mechanisms through it all.
Yeah, I agree. As a former law enforcement officer as well, I can tell you that isolation, loneliness, and fear breeds contempt. It breeds great frustration, and people are looking for outlets right now, because the greatest pandemic you could put across a population is going to be the pandemic of fear, because that's how you gain control of a population. And people who are acting in fear, you know, and making decisions in fear basically do dumb things. Sometimes they do criminal things. Sometimes they lash out and hurt other people. And the tragedy you experience right there is unthinkable. And yet, you're right, it's becoming the norm. And we need to begin to step back and rethink literally everything we're doing and why we're doing it, and thing too. And to sort of individualize our thinking once again, like we're having this conversation right now. These are good conversations, and this is where we need to go. If something's not working and it's creating disastrous results, and we're expecting different results by doing the same thing, Einstein had it best, and that was insanity. And so we're practicing, and we're seeing lived out an experiment that's bringing fruition of insanity right now. So let's stop the insanity. Do something different and bring it back to the foundational truth, which Americans, I mean, we all know this. Americans can have the great American dream, but right now it's the great American nightmare.
Sir, I need to thank you not only for your insights and your perspectives this morning. Dr. Mark Sherwood is a healthy living expert. He and his wife have treated over 9,500 COVID-19 patients successfully. But thank you for being a part of law enforcement, which really is in the crosshairs these days, which doesn't help matters either. But where can we learn more about you and your work?
Yeah, people can go to Sherwood.tv. That's our main website. If they want sort of a synopsis of everything we talked about today and more, we've created a free download for them. If they want to go to Sherwood.tv/free, they can get a little 20-some-odd page ebook that talks about all these principles I talked about. And just, I encourage people just to download that thing and put it into practice. And again, free is free, but there's great information there that you can put to work.
Healthy living expert, Dr. Mark Sherwood. Again, thank you for all of your insights this morning, and here's to a happy, healthy 2022.
Happy New Year, Gail. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take good care. 652 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA.
Prep sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Win, lose, or draw. Hear what Brady has to say about the Broncos on the Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
.659 on your Wednesday morning, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA, Mornings with Gail. Coming up, I can't thank you enough over the years for always stepping up to assist any number of nonprofits, chief among them, the Weld Food Bank. And again, thank you for all that you continue to do, but the need is still great. Weston Edmonds, Communications Manager, Weld Food Bank, weighs in at 7:05. KFKA Greeley, it's 7 o'clock.